And good morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly, the oldest, longest running gay and lesbian radio show and transgender and bisexual radio show on anywhere in the world. And we're back in our own studio. I'm David Taffet with Ron Landis and the extremely late Patty Fink. She's joining us on the telephone. Our guests today are the late Patty Fink, whose new home decor line can be found at Big Lots, and Lauren Landis, whose article on gay parenting, I Don't Care About Your Two Stinking Mommies, Heather, appears in this month's McCall magazine. Welcome, Lauren and Patty.
McCall's, do they even still make that?
I don't think so.
Thank you, David. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, I'm glad you're here.
About parenting.
This week I have two gay rights heroes. One is an old codger from New Mexico who started same-sex marriage in that state, and the other is an old judge in Washington, D.C. who's performing same-sex marriages.
Yes.
How about you?
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Patty, you want to talk about the old judge in Washington, D.C.?
The old judge of Washington, D.C. is rocks.
Yeah, she does.
Yes.
RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yes.
Yeah, tell us what happened there.
Well, she announced yesterday, a very pleasant surprise, I think, that she's going to perform a same-sex wedding in Washington, D.C. And not only that, but she's going to do another one in September.
Yeah.
Right. Originally, she couldn't do it. When she was first asked.
When she first got the invitation, she held off until after the decision came down early this summer about the DOMA ruling and, of course, the Prop 8. But she said prior to that she was eager to do it, but she hadn't even been asked. But when she was asked, she held off before she could answer. But what I find interesting about it is, and here's a quote. From her, she said, "I think it will be one more statement that people who love each other and want to live together should be able to enjoy the blessings and the strife in their marriage relationship." The rulings this summer really didn't rule on the marriage in general.
No.
So that could still come before the Supreme Court.
Could.
And she just pretty much gave her opinion on it.
Yeah. Oh, she certainly did.
That's what I find interesting about this whole thing. It is rare that Supreme Court justices officiate any weddings, but they do happen. Clarence Thomas, he did officiate the fourth or fifth wedding for Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, that's true.
It's true. Yeah, that sanctity of marriage thing.
That sanctity of marriage thing. So if he can do this, she surely can do this.
Right. And it's an
legal
couple that is getting married, that she's going to marry. It's Michael Kaiser, who's president of Washington, D.C.'s Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, which we often see, you know,
right,
like honors at the Kennedy Honors and stuff. And he's marrying a man named John Roberts, who's not related to the justice.
Yeah, not that John Roberts.
Not that John Roberts, right.
No, this John Roberts is an economist.
Yeah.
And they'll be getting married at the Kennedy Center.
At the Kennedy Center. So I assume this is going to be a big, lavish ceremony.
Right. Right. I doubt that Miley Cyrus will be joining them.
Oh, we got some Miley Cyrus news for you later on.
Yeah, we're going to hold that off.
We'll get to that.
but I think that's really landmark.
I think it is.
It's huge. I was thrilled to see the headline come across. I was like, oh, this is great.
Right. And while you say she's kind of tipping her hat to where she stands on same-sex marriage.
I mean, I think she more than tipped it. She pretty much said it.
She pretty much said, this is where I stand on it. I think this ruling is broad enough, because what it says is the federal government has to be equal in how it treats same-sex couples and opposite-sex couples. So being equal means a Supreme Court justice can do a straight wedding. Well, a Supreme Court justice can do a gay wedding.
Sure.
But we know, because of the DOMA ruling and the Prop 8 ruling, which they really didn't address, that they just dismissed the case, there's more challenges now to state bans on same-sex marriage. And I posted this the other day on your posting, Patty, that I don't know how these state bans are going to continue to hold up.
But yeah, I don't know how they're gonna really survive, especially the ones that are really vehement and virulent,
like ours.
Like ours. I mean, where we've had our attorney general, who's now running for governor, make statements that are really, and our governor, about basically just pure animus against LGBT people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There's no way to get around that. I mean, they don't like gay people. And
yeah,
so
period.
That kind of attitude, especially in the form of public policy and civil rights, I think just doesn't have a long life left.
Yeah. So I assume that regardless of the lower court rulings to these challenges to state bans, they're going to eventually end up back in the Supreme Court to rule on the constitutionality of nationwide marriage equality. So I just going to be interesting because she's already kind of said how she feels about it.
Yeah. Although what she's not saying is that it needs to be nationwide. I'm sure she thinks it should.
Yeah.
But all she's doing is performing a wedding in a place
where it's legal,
D.C., where it's already legal. So
that's true.
You know, what her ruling said was, federal government, you have to treat the local government policy on same-sex marriage the same way you treat any policy on marriage. And she's doing that.
She's doing that. That is correct.
You know, had she been asked by friends of hers to do a straight wedding,
I'm sure she would have said yes.
She would have certainly considered that, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, remember when Judge Vaughn in California was making his ruling on Prop 8,
sure.
And the opposition was saying, well, he's gay. He can't decide this case.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it's kind of just that same sort of lunacy that, you know, a straight man, a straight judge can't marry a straight couple.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
It's the same thing. So here's a straight judge marrying a same-sex couple where it's legal, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah,
it is. Okay, now I said I have two heroes this week. She's one of them. The mm-hmm. other one is Lynn Ellens, and we talked about him just briefly last week. Lynn Ellens is, let me be nice, he's this old codger who's the county clerk out in Doña Ana County. Doña Ana County is just north of El Paso, and it includes Las Cruces, which is the second largest city in the state. And the history of this is that in May, the city attorney for Santa Fe, which is up north, made a ruling that said, it was a reading of the Constitution, and it said that New Mexico Constitution does not specify gender in its marriage laws. It does in its divorce laws, but not in its marriage laws.
You said that a while back. What does it say in their divorce law?
A divorce between a man and a woman.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, a divorce between a husband and wife.
Gotcha.
It uses the words husband and wife.
Okay.
But husband and wife never come into play in the New Mexico marriage laws. It just says when two people marry. I mean,
so you can get married in New Mexico, but you can't get a divorce.
That hasn't been ruled either.
Us.
Yes, us right now. You could get married in six counties in New Mexico, but you can't get a divorce once you are
interesting.
Married. Okay, so this county attorney, or city attorney, was making a ruling that had been asked for by the mayor, made the ruling to encourage the mayor and the city council to issue a resolution encouraging the county clerk to issue marriage licenses, because it's up to the county clerk who they will issue a marriage license to within the law. So we had a city attorney making a ruling, we had a city council that was saying, we're behind you if you do this. So back in May, Lynn Ellens saw this county attorney ruling, and Ellens is an attorney. He used to be an assistant district attorney up in Colorado. So I'm not talking about, you know, this is not an uneducated guy. This is a smart guy. And he said, you know, that's my reading of this, too. So what he did was very quietly, he had gender-neutral applications printed up, marriage licenses printed up. He discussed it with a very narrow circle of people within the county clerk's office. And from people that I spoke to who actually went to get married, they said everybody was on board with it. Everybody was welcoming and friendly and thrilled this was going on. And they were just delighted to be helping all of these couples getting married. Everybody was on board. So they had discussed it ahead of time just within this office.
Mm-hmm.
He really kept it close to the vest in order to not be preempted and have an injunction come down while he was trying to do this. So, but what he said was, really, and this is kind of the quote that I got when I was speaking, he said, damn it, that's my reading of it too, and I'm going to do the same thing. I'm just going to start issuing those licenses. And he did. So what happened the rest of the week, or for the next week, was Santa Fe, a Santa Fe judge issued a ruling ordering the county clerk to start issuing licenses. Two other counties, one to the east of Santa Fe, one to the south of Albuquerque, just decided to start ruling. Then a judge in Albuquerque ruled Albuquerque has to be, or Bernalillo County has to be issuing them. And then one other county decided to do it, and then there's a suit up in Los Alamos County. So so we might have one more county by next week issuing these licenses. But it all started with this one clerk who said, well, that's my reading of it, too. And here's the other part of what he said. He said, I was elected to uphold the Constitution, and that's what I'm going to do. And he did it.
And that's what he did.
You know, you just got to love this guy. Mm-hmm. Because in 2004, when Sandoval County decided to do it, Sandoval County is between Santa Fe and Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
The county clerk there started issuing licenses back in 2004, like right around the time of Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was one state. Said the same thing, read the Constitution the same way, issued 64 licenses over a month, and it took a month before they could get an injunction for her to stop. She was seen as this crazy person who was just going on her own doing this. So, you know, Lynn Ellen's doing this time. That's the history that he was up against. He was going to be seen as this crazy person doing this. But instead, everybody's coming around him. The governor, who is Republican, doesn't like it, and she said she would like to see a vote. The attorney general doesn't like it, and he said he's not going to intervene. Wouldn't you like Greg Abbott to say, those kinds of things and say, well, I don't really like this, I don't agree with it, but I'm not going to intervene.
No.
He couldn't contain himself.
Right.
He could not do it.
I mean, he's annoyed they're doing it next door. So, I mean, I love what's going on in New Mexico because it's grassroots. It's, you know, this isn't really from one court order. It's not from the legislature. These are real people who are just getting together and saying, yeah, we're going to do this.
I think it's going to come out in our favor in the end, because it will end up in the New Mexico Supreme Court to clarify, you know, if gay couples have the right to get married there or not, because it kind of it's hard to interpret that any other way. What their constitution already says.
33 county clerks signed on to a brief and asked the Supreme Court for a statewide ruling, because in the end, you want it uniform.
Absolutely.
You want it to happen, and New Mexico's Supreme Court right now is a fairly liberal court.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you do want a uniform. Not only, you know, we talk about we want a uniformity in the nation, but you definitely want uniformity in the state.
In the state.
You know, you don't want, well, you can get married up in the north, in northern counties, but not the southern ones, or whatever.
Right, because, you know, we were talking a few weeks ago about the couple who, well, they're married when they're in California, they're
right.
not married here. There, it's you take a drive just up to Santa Fe from Las Cruces, and you're married, not married, married, not married, married.
Right.
Five changes just within the state on one highway.
On one highway.
You just stay on I-25, and it's married, not married, not
so
married.
So you better drive fast.
Through a couple of those counties, yeah.
Yeah, you better drive fast, you know, if you want to get to a place where you're safe.
Now, here's where it gets confusing. I mentioned those 64 marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And, Patty, we didn't talk about this earlier when you and I were talking. Okay, so there were those 64 marriages. There was an injunction against them.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody in the county clerk's office wrote across each of the 64, invalid or void, one or the other. And it was declared this week that a county clerk can marry people, but a county clerk cannot dissolve a marriage. So writing void on these marriage certificates, they said, writing void was void. So these marriages from 10 years ago that had been declared invalid are now suddenly valid again.
Yeah, only as far as my
That's bizarre.
As far as my limited legal experience, I did. Used to work for a court.
Yeah,
only a judge can dissolve a marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it sounds like she's trying to do an annulment.
Well,
like, yeah,
like I
it,
do.
It, yeah. it never existed.
Well, but that's what this was. It was like an annulment that it never existed. These were void. They were now declared valid, which is fine for the couples that are still together. But what about a couple who, you know, okay, that marriage is invalid. 5 years later, 8 years later, the couple splits up. Now that one of those people is with somebody else, they go to California, they get married, and all of a sudden they're in a position where they had no intention of doing anything illegal, but they're in a position of bigamy. Patty, I want to hear what your take on that is, but we need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet in the studio with Laron Landis, and on the phone with us is the extremely late Patty Fink.
In Dallas, local partners and national nonprofit Connect to Compete have made available for residents digital skills training classes. Classes include basic internet searching, internet basics, computer basics, and more. Local residents are also eligible for programs that provide assistance for internet service and computers. For more information on internet classes at local libraries, their phone number is 1-855-387-9166 or on the web at everyoneon.org. This program is in partnership with Dallas Area Libraries, Connect to Compete, and the Ad Council.
When they're gone for good. This is Scott from KNON's Texas Blues Radio telling you don't miss out on some great blues. KNON's Texas Blues Radio Volume 5 Blues CD. It's a CD put together by real blues fans for real blues fans like you. Texas Blues Radio Volume 5 features great local blues from Michael J. and the Paul Bird Band, J.J. and the Detonators, the Chris Watson Band, the Two Tones, Rough Cut Blues Band, Jeff Stone with Charlie Love, Dave Millsap, Sirloin and the Ass Kicking Machine, Tutu Jones, Blues Boy Bo, Buddy Whittington, Andrea Dawson, Kirkland James, Sonny Colley, and Johnny Red and the Roosters. Get a copy now at Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie, Record Town in Fort Worth, and in Dallas at Bill's Records. This is a Dallas Blues collector's item. A very limited amount of vinyl copies can be found at Forever Young Records, the sponsor of this great blues project. CD downloads are available at cdbaby.com. Whether you get it as a download, on vinyl, or on CD, all the proceeds will benefit KNON. For more info on Texas Blues Radio Volume 5, visit KNON.org.
This is William. I listen to Lambda Weekly at 11 a.m. on Saturdays on KNON 89.3 FM.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis, and on the phone with us is the late Patty Fink.
And before we pick back up where we left off, I just want to thank everybody who came out last week.
It was fun.
For the Angela Hunt and Philip Kingston celebration or dedication, whatever.
Well, Philip was here to help honor Angela.
To help all, yeah. It was really, really nice. The participants, the audience that came asked some really great questions, so thank you very much.
Yeah, we'll be doing that again.
We will.
An event like that sometime again.
Because it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. We had never done anything like that.
Okay, so Patty, so we're talking about these marriages that 10 years ago, the Sandoval County clerk in New Mexico married people. Then they got a court injunction against these, and it wasn't just an injunction against issuing new licenses, but it invalidated all of the former licenses. But it was the county clerk that invalidated the licenses, which a county clerk can't do, so now a judge has found that those marriages are valid. But there's possibly, and I haven't heard a report of this, but there are possibly some people in those marriages who are not together anymore and didn't expect to suddenly be remarried again. And might have remarried someone else in the meantime. I mean, if you're told you're not married, then you're free to marry, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do?
Well, I just think it's such a testament to the bigotry in this country that they feel like they can play with people's lives like that. You know, to issue a marriage license and then void it. Like, I mean, what is that? You would you'd never even try to do that to a straight couple. Never.
Right. You wouldn't.
Well, and then reinstate it.
And then reinstate it.
Yeah.
10 years later. Yeah.
I don't know. I think that there's a lot of real bigotry out there. Because they don't think about it in truly human terms, because I don't think they think we're equal. for them.
Right. And that's what it comes right down to, that it's just a game and it's just this legal thing. It's as if it's not really dealing with real people's lives.
Exactly.
Exactly. And I remember that one of the cases that was the early kind of, you know, made a chip in it, and then it became a big wedge that cracked wide in Canada in the 90s was a case involving family court in British Columbia, where it was an interesting ruling because two women were together, had, I can't remember if they had one child or several kids, but as they were splitting up, the non-custodial parent of the children had to pay child support, was the ruling of the court. And so it was kind of like another way of saying this is a relationship, these children matter, and they need both parents, and one of them is going to maintain responsibility for those children.
Right, it's not a game. If you're married, if you're having kids, you're going to take care of those
kids. Absolutely.
Which is why me, on the other side of this, with all of these parents that throw their gay kids out, I am dying for a lawsuit where one of those kids, represented by Lambda Legal or some other legal organization, sues those parents to say it doesn't matter whether or not you like everything about your kid, you're going to support him till he's 18.
I couldn't agree with you more, David.
You not liking something about Gabrielle, you find out she's straight, and so you throw her out of the house.
No, I can't think of anything where I would put my daughter out of the house.
Exactly, because you understand from the minute you conceived her that she's your
responsibility
for the next 18 years.
I mean,
Period. End of story.
And parents do it all the time.
Oh, I know.
It's just shocking to me, and it reminds me. Remember years ago, I did an interview with Matthew St. Patrick. And he's the actor who played this black man playing a cop who was gay on 6 Feet Under on HBO.
The hot actor.
Yeah, he was very hot.
Correct.
And I will never forget the story that he told about, you know, being a soap opera kind of career happening in New York. But then he got this big break. He got auditioned by this new Alan Ball series on the premium cable channel. He was so excited about it because it meant a huge bump for his career. And so he called his parents, who were living somewhere in the South, to tell them about this, you know, great thing that's happened in his life. And in the conversation, his father misunderstood him and thought that he was saying that he was gay, that his son was gay. And so he said, very abruptly in the conversation said, you are dead to me. You are no longer my son. Don't ever call here again. We don't want to speak with you at all. And he's like, Dad, I'm not gay. My character is gay. The character I'm going to play is gay. And his dad says, Oh, okay, never mind.
Right. But he said
it changed his life.
Yeah.
It transformed the way he sees his dad, the way he sees his parents, the way he played the character. And the way he would see his own kids, you know?
And the way he played that character. That's why it was such a brilliant performance.
Because
he got it.
Yeah, exactly.
He said,
I never knew that there would be anything that my dad would say those words to me ever in my life. And it was simply for being gay. And he, you know, on a mistake, no less. You know, it wasn't him being gay. And, you know, and yet he heard his own father say those words to him and mean it.
That's just horrible. But how many of these kids, when they're only, you know, 15, and they say those words, and their parents throw them out of the house? That's unconscionable. It's criminal. And I'm dying for those kids to sue their parents for child support.
Yep,
because they're entitled to it.
And if they're already 18. Sue them for back child support. Seriously, if you got thrown out when you were 14 or 15 and you didn't get any money from the time you were thrown out till you're 18.
And they ended up not graduating from high school,
Exactly. Yes,
their parents owe them
back
support,
child support
until they can get on their feet. Yeah, they do. They absolutely do. But anyway, same-sex marriage in New Mexico, probably there'll be some kind of ruling by the Supreme Court to either make it statewide or to stop it. But this week also in Illinois, the former head of the Republican Party in Illinois, who was fired because of his position on same-sex marriage, he was for it, has been hired by the ACLU. The ACLU hired him in order to lobby other Republicans who are on the fence in the Illinois legislature. It's already passed the Senate, just needs to pass the House. The governor's all for it, mm-hmm. but they need like 10 more votes, something like that. And he's been hired to lobby the Republicans to get him on board for same-sex marriage. In Hawaii, the governor said this week that he would call a special session for same-sex marriage. And when I read that, I was thinking, yeah, I could just imagine one of our special sessions being called for that reason. You know, it's in some states they call special sessions for constructive purposes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Not going to happen here.
Not going to happen here.
No.
But so Hawaii might be the next one.
Which would be number 14?
14 and a half. Well, you know, 14 plus D.C., plus parts of New Mexico, plus several Indian reservations around the country, like in Michigan and a couple other places. So, yeah. But it would be the 14th full state.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see whether it's Illinois.
Yeah, we have Hawaii, let's have a new bet now.
Or New Mexico.
Yeah, I'm probably going to put my money on New Mexico.
Yeah, the governor in Hawaii sure is for it.
He's very much for it. Yeah.
He is pushing it.
So is anybody betting on Nevada?
Not right now.
Not yet. Is that where you're thinking might be next?
I'm thinking they're going to really want to start doing weddings in Vegas.
I would think they'd want to, but
I think that's probably where the only support is coming from is Vegas. What about the rest of the state?
But the rest of the state, Reno, there are other gambling cities and some other tourist places that could cash in that have wedding chapel. I mean, everybody, gays have the right to be married by Elvis.
Exactly.
In a drive-through.
At 3 a.m.
Yes, I mean, we have that. We should have that right.
One of those
also.
Right. You know, when we talk about the more than 1,000 rights we don't have, right now we do not have the right to be married by Elvis in a drive-through in Las Vegas.
It's a marriage thing, you know.
Yeah, no.
It is a sanctity of marriage issue. And we do need to correct this.
But you know what else I love about it? If New Mexico does get this worked out, and it is absolutely legal in New Mexico to get married. You can't get any closer than that to us.
Right.
That is next door.
It's next door.
That's next door. And even though it's not considered a southern state, it's the first geographically, it kind of is a southern state.
It's the first one in this part of the country.
It would be the first one in this part of the country. Yep.
That's important.
Yeah.
Why don't we go to the entertainment report?
All right. Let's talk MTV Video Music Awards. And no, not Miley Cyrus. The video for the best song with a message was won this week by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis for the song Same Love. It's a great rap song. They're playing it all over the radios. Now, the song is about marriage equality, and it was released last year, and so far it's gotten over 80 million views on YouTube. Macklemore said his gay uncles and their partners influenced the concept for his song and video. So I guess he has more than one gay uncle, which is great. So, I didn't want to, but we will talk about Miley Cyrus. And David has come up with the absolute most brilliant plan I've ever heard out of his mouth in the whole 14, 15 years I've known him. What is it, David?
So here's my take on Miley Cyrus. First of all, who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Right? Patty, are you right in there on Miley?
Yeah,
who cares?
Oh, big time.
What was fascinating was the reaction to it. And I don't get the reaction.
I didn't either. I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either. I don't plan to see it.
Well, I've seen it now. It took 2 or 3 days for me to see it.
Didn't you watch the news this week? It was the lead
story. But to actually see the full performance, I had to go find it.
I didn't see the whole performance.
So I said, let me go watch. So I finally saw the whole performance, and I posted about it on Facebook. And my reaction was, that's it? Yeah. All this hoopla over this? I don't get it.
I don't know why people cared other than, like you said before,
well,
child star.
That's the only rationale I can put to it, is because this used to be a child star who played this incredibly popular Hannah Montana character. Now she's doing everything she possibly can to break that mold. That's the only thing I can think of is why people are reacting like they
and
are.
Care.
And care.
Yeah, but Anna Paquin is Sookie. I mean, she was a child star.
She was, but she didn't. She wasn't as known as Anna Montana.
She wasn't. Yeah, the phenomenon.
The phenomenon. I mean, it was really wildly popular.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And Patty probably doesn't get that because she's older than we are, but, you know.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, I have to say, I was telling David before the show, I'm so glad I dodged that bullet. My daughter's only 4, so Hannah Montana's not, like, everywhere now. So I don't have to.
Okay, so here's.
So you get Yo Gabba Gabba and stuff.
I do get Yo Gabba Gabba.
But okay, here's what I think of Hannah Montana is or the reaction to it. So I'm watching CNN 2 days after this thing happened, and the host on CNN's morning show is going on and on about how she wishes that media was not taught. Why is everybody talking about her? And she's going on and on, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I have a talk show. If I don't want to talk about something, or Patty, how many times have you said, can we go on to something else? Right?
At least a few.
Yeah, exactly.
At least a few over the
You know what? You have a talk show. You decide what you want to
you
talk about.
You decide what you want to talk about.
You know, and instead of her saying, you know, the United States is about to start bombing Syria, maybe this is, what, CNN? It's a news channel. Maybe we should talk about that a little bit rather than, you know, some little twerp
shaking her butt on stage.
She could have said that.
She could have.
But she didn't.
She didn't.
Okay, so I think Miley Cyrus is brilliant. She got more tweets, apparently, per minute than the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what we came up with.
Now here's what you came up with.
Patty, you need to go on the VMAs next year.
Oh, okay.
And you need to shake your butt.
Okay.
And we'll all tweet about it. And you need to get hundreds of thousands of tweets. Our next pledge drive is going to be over the top. Because everybody's going to be tuning in to the show that...
Oh, yeah, they'll be watching that.
Patty
I'm
Fink...
Sure.
He said Patty Fink should do basically what Miley Cyrus did.
Absolutely. I think
so
they should dress
I thought,
like that.
Oh, my God. That is a visual I would have never, ever thought of. That's genius, David.
There is no bad publicity. Miley Cyrus, I think, was brilliant. Because
no, look, that's, folks, that's bad publicity.
It was
there
bad.
Is no bad publicity.
Good.
There is no bad publicity. Who was talking about Miley Cyrus before this stupid show?
True.
Nobody.
I don't think her name's ever been mentioned on the show.
I don't think we talked, but we're talking. Yeah. But we're talking about
we're
it.
We're talking about it now.
We're talking about this brilliant. Look, she could have taken her career in a number of directions. She could have gone from Hannah Montana to doing some Shakespeare, and could have won an Academy Award for that. She probably knew that wasn't going to happen. You know, she probably realized she just couldn't even wrap her tongue around any of those Shakespearean couplets. So she did what she could do, which is shake her butt on
shake
TV.
Shake her butt.
And you know, this is beginning to sound reminiscent of the days when we had discussions about Britney Spears.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah.
It does.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Patty, that's what we want you to do. Next year, VMAs, we'll be looking for your ass.
Yes. Take one for the team, Patty.
Uh-huh. we want
you. Like I said, there is such a thing as bad publicity.
We could probably raise so much money, we would pay for everybody's budget. Our show.
Oh, I think
everybody's
so.
Everybody's budget
oh,
for
yeah,
a
yeah.
year.
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You'll take one for
I'm
the team.
I'm taking notes.
All right, good, good. All right, moving on. After a 2-year battle for illegal film rights, the book Invisible Life by the late author and former Lambda Weekly guest, E. Lynn Harris, is finally on track to become a movie. Yeah, I'm excited about this. Now, prior to his death in 2009 of a heart attack, he just did our show. Mm-hmm. A week later, he passed. Movie producer Proteus Spann, and apparently already bought the rights to his books. Well, Elin Harris's mother sued, saying that he didn't have the legal rights, and he forged Elin's signature.
Ooh.
Yeah, so this has been in a course for over 2 years, and now a Los Angeles judge ruled, in fact, that Spann did already have legal and exclusive rights. So now his projects can move forward.
So have they approached you about who's going to play you in the film?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. Not yet. But hopefully they will. And you too. And you too, Patty. So,
oh, who's going to play Patty? It's obvious. Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus. That's right. Oh, Lord.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I know. After 42 years of partnership, actress and comedian Lily Tomlin and her partner Jane Wagner are considering getting married. 42 years. That's
wow.
Longer. That's longer than I've been around.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I love them.
I love them, too. I know you've met them.
I've met them.
Yeah.
And just in a real casual setting. And what sweethearts they are.
Yeah.
They are just wonderful people.
Now, in an interview with E! Online, Lily went on to say that, quote, you don't really need to get married, but marriage is awfully nice. Everybody I know who got married, they say it really makes a difference, and I feel happy about that. So we'll see if they actually do. I don't know what state they reside in. I'm assuming California. Yeah. California. So.
I'm excited for them, too. I love Lily Tomlin.
I'm really excited.
And, you know, Jane Wagner's a part of the genius behind her comic talent, though.
It is.
You know,
Jane Wagner is her writer.
Absolutely,
yeah.
The real partnership of creativity, you know, which is really cool. But, you know, Jim Nabors got married very, very late, too. I mean, he's in his 80s, and he'd been with his partner for 25 or 30 years.
Huh.
And they finally, you know, decided not to live in shame anymore.
You know, for couples who have been together for 20, 30-plus years and who had never thought that, one, that a marriage was an option, or two, that they even wanted to get married, I think for just legal purposes, you ought to do it.
Well, especially now.
Especially now that it is legal.
Break.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about it after the break. We'll come right back.
We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
KNON thanks you for your pledge to our recent pledge drive. Now is the time to make your pledge count. KNON has a new address for you to send your pledge to. KNON no longer uses a P.O. box. Send your pledge to KNON 5353 Maple Avenue, Suite 200, Dallas, Texas 75235. If you missed our pledge drive, you can still support community radio by pledging on the web at KNON.org. Your pledge only counts if you pay it. Remember, don't use the P.O. box. Send that pledge to KNON 5353 Maple Avenue, Suite 200 in Dallas, 75235. Be sure to put the name of the show you are supporting on the check or money order or the envelope. Questions about KNON Pledge Drive, 214-828-9500, extension 234.
Sweet 16, Louisiana Red, and I'm celebrating my 16th anniversary on KNON, Saturday, September the 21st, at the Sons of Herman Hall, with my good friend, T.J. Hooker Taylor, son of Dallas Blues legend Johnny Taylor, the Hitmaker, Little Jimmy and the Feedback Band, and James White, who answered my cell phone butler. Doors will open at 7 p.m., music at 8 p.m. I'll be DJing and MCing with that down-home blues and soul mix. So come on out and party with me. Tickets are available now at KNON.org. Bill's Records in Dallas. Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie. The Sons of Herman Hall is located at 3414 Elm Street in Dallas. That's T.J. Hooker Taylor, Lil Jimmy, and the Feedback Band, James Butler, and a big party at the Sons of Herman Hall, celebrating 16 years of Louisiana Reds, down home blues and soul mix on KNON, the voice of the people. This is a KNON benefit, sponsored in part by Beneficial Consultant Services, LLC.
This is Alex Hanselka, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON-FM, Dallas.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis, and on the phone with us is the extremely late Patty Fink. Laron,
just finishing up Entertainment News. Congratulations to Lee Daniels, whose film The Butler remained at number one for a second week in a row. With good reviews and a strong word of mouth, the film's already ranked in over $55 million. And Lee Daniels remains as one of the very few openly gay black directors in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So good.
Did you hear what they've been doing to him?
What?
So amazing. The MPAA or whatever it is that does the ratings, apparently is it Time Warner that owns it now?
Mm-hmm.
owns a film from like 1928 or something called The Butler.
Yes.
And they insisted that because they don't want it to be confused with this version of The
Butler.
Most
people would confuse it.
Right. And so they you know, for a while they were doing ads saying, in the trailer saying, you know, this film has not yet been rated. But now they have to say Lee Daniels, The Butler.
Right. Yeah, that is the official title, Lee Daniels.
But didn't they do something like that to him when he did Precious?
Yes.
Yes.
Like the based on the novel Push by
Sappho.
Yes. I mean, they had to put all this like verbiage around it. It sounds like, you know,
yeah,
like being at the State Fair of Texas where we're like, you know, inside the Perry Gate, across from the DAR house, grassy lawn, instead of saying Marine Corps Square.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like they make this guy out of all the ones. You can put in any name of a movie and get like four versions of it.
Exactly.
In the last 50 years.
I was just about to say, I have no idea why they were doing this, because there's a lot of movies out there with the exact same titles.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's amazing that they're doing it to him, and not just the first time, but the second time.
Yeah. And if you want to talk about song titles, oh dear God.
Right.
Yeah.
A gazillion with the same titles, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on to some other entertaining news. In a different way.
Okay. Liz Cheney. Now, her sister is Mary Cheney. Her parents are Lynn and Dick Cheney. Liz Cheney is running for the Senate in Wyoming. She's challenging another Republican who's been in the Senate for years.
Enzi.
Yeah, Enzi. But she came out yesterday saying, now her sister is a lesbian, her parents support Mary Cheney, the whole family has embraced Mary and her partner and their kid. Liz Cheney came out yesterday to say, I am not pro-gay marriage. So Liz Cheney is distinguishing herself and this campaign by positioning herself to the right of Dick Cheney.
Which is bizarre.
Can you imagine?
Very bizarre.
Just saying you're Dick Cheney's kid, you would think that would be conservative enough. Apparently not.
Well, you know, we've had a lot of discussions on this show about the fact that, like, for example, when Mary Cheney came out with this book, this, like, autobiography that she had done, and, you know, we weren't big fans because she's never really, like, taken a stand on anything. But imagine, I'm feeling sorry for her at this moment, imagine what that must feel like for her, because she married her partner, Heather Poe.
Right.
They've been together for, I don't know, 15, 20 years. They married in Washington, D.C., and, you know, former Vice President Dick Cheney was in attendance and happily was there to marry off his daughter, you know, to her partner, and her own sister is doing this. I mean, what does that say in their relationship as sisters, to say, I think you're inferior?
You know, and the part of this that's so obnoxious is it wasn't that she was asked the question. She just came out with a statement yesterday. She was not asked. So there was no point in her doing this other than to be... Well, I can't use that word on the air.
Yeah.
Well, the other side had done something, I don't know, some mailing or push-pulling or something, to the effect that she was not conservative, that she was pro-abortion, and, you know, as if anyone is, that she's pro-choice and pro-gay marriage. So, I mean, there was something coming out of the other campaign.
I really would like to hear a statement or reaction or response from Mary.
Yeah.
So what do you think about your?
She's not going to say anything.
What do you think about your sister not supporting you?
She's not going to say anything. That's,
well, she sure had a lot to say about when her name was brought up during the presidential debate.
That's different because it was Democrats who brought it up.
That's true. That's true. Good point. No, you're right.
You know, I don't care what Enzi is saying about Liz Cheney. When you're Dick Cheney's daughter, you don't have to prove that you're conservative.
You really don't.
You
really don't. I mean...
Yeah, but it is kind of funny, too, uber-right-wing Republicans duking it out about who's, you know, who could be more right-wing.
Yeah, who could be... I can out-right-wing you.
Yeah, who's more of an extremist.
Yeah.
Okay, talking about right-wing lunatics...
And this is what I meant when I said more entertainment, but in a different way.
It is entertainment.
It is entertainment.
And you know something? It shouldn't be treated by any news media as anything other
but
than
entertainment
than comedy.
Yeah, and that is our, well, I was about to call him our good friend, but Pat Robertson, who has said, I can't count how many things he said about us that it's just laughable.
Okay, Pat Robertson, who always has the stupid thing to say.
Stupid thing to say. He has said that we have caused hurricanes, we caused 9/11, and, you know, on and on and on. His latest rant
Katrina.
About Katrina.
Yeah. Which that was one of my favorites, since the only neighborhood in New Orleans that didn't flood was the gay neighborhood. But I guess what he was saying there was the gays stood in the French Quarter and said, okay, rest of the city flood.
Yeah. Well, of course. Dry. Yeah, we're not going to flood our own. We've got to protect our own.
I mean, that was the proof that we did it.
That was the proof.
Yeah, because we have that power.
Yeah, we do.
So now his latest idiotic thing is that gays wear these rings. I don't know where you find these rings.
At the ring store.
At the ring store. Well, you know, these rings that if you shake somebody's hand, people who have AIDS, gays who have AIDS, we wear these rings and shake hands to cut you on purpose to infect you.
What?
I know, crickets.
You didn't hear that? You missed that one?
Yeah, you hadn't heard about this one? Yeah. So, because I guess, you know, maybe there was a little more outrage about this statement than the other ones, he actually had to, or his publicist had to issue a statement. And basically saying that they apologize, but because we misunderstood his statement. It's our fault.
I'm sorry if you misunderstood.
I regret that my remarks have been misunderstood, but this often happens because people do not listen to the context of my remarks of what you're being said.
That's right.
So what context makes that good?
He didn't explain that.
Yeah. You tell me.
You wanted an explanation,
yeah,
Hattie?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm sorry you misunderstood what I said, but you're a jerk.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you misunderstood that.
Right? I'm reading here. He still kind of defends his statement. He goes back and he says...
He didn't say it was wrong. He said the context quoted it in was wrong.
In my own experience, our organization sponsored a meeting years ago in San Francisco where trained security officers warned me about shaking hands because in those days, certain AIDS-infected activists were deliberately trying to infect people like me by virtue of rings which would cut fingers and transfer blood. Really?
Because shaking hands has been proven to be the major mode of transmission for HIV. You
yes.
didn't know that?
No.
We need to get Brett back on.
Yeah, we do.
So that he can discuss with us transmitting AIDS through handshaking.
I guess my wedding ring is one of those rings?
Sure looks like it to me, Patty. He is wearing a wedding ring, and next time you see him, do not let
it will,
Laurent...
It will cut
okay.
your hand.
Yeah. Okay. I've never heard of this phenomenon.
Yeah. Well,
you know, it's because we're the gay media.
You know, and David and I were talking before the show, and we're, of course, you know, we make light of this, and it is funny because it's so outrageous. But on the other side of the coin, it's sad and scary because people still watch this man and still listen to him. Those out there who don't know any gay people, don't want to know any gay people, still have closed minds. They're really ignorant about HIV and AIDS.
What's scary is we got this from a report, a news report, and we preface this by saying, you know, okay, in more entertainment news, you know, more comedy coming from Pat Robertson. You didn't get this in that context.
No.
You got it in an actual news report reporting what this man said as if what he says matters. And it only matters because he's treated as if he's serious, as if he has some intelligence. I mean, this man, one thing after another that comes out of his mouth is just filth and stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this man is a stupid piece of filth.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, but this is the same guy that tells straight couples who've been together for a lifetime, "Hey, your spouse has Alzheimer's. It's okay to leave her."
Yes,
it's okay to leave her because she's really not there. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
The other one he walked back on this week. The other one that he walked back on this week was that if men stray a little bit, the woman should forgive him because men just tend to do that.
That's right.
Well, we could do a whole show on that.
Forget about those marriage vows.
There's the Iowa court. There's this bozo in Montana that ruled that gave a guy 30 days in jail for raping a 14-year-old. I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, crazy misogyny out there.
Right. Okay. All right, Doc.
Right. Yeah, Doc was trying to get to the mic. And,
yeah, I was trying to get to the mic, and I messed up. But I kind of noticed details, and I thought about, so wait a minute, shaking hands. Don't most people shake hands with the right hand and the wedding rings on the left?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Good point.
So I guess it's not the wedding ring.
Yeah.
Thank you, Doc.
Yes, right. Because my wedding ring is on my left.
Your wedding ring is on your left, yes. But being left-handed, I can never remember those kinds of things.
You are a lefty. I forgot about that.
I am.
So, yeah, you're right, Patty. We could do a whole hour on Pat Robertson.
On all the stupidity. And it's not just against gay people. It's just this real peculiar view he has of the world. The problem is that all of these things we get are taken from actual news reports. What he says is reported as if it had some importance.
Or any grain of truth.
And yeah. It's not reported as, any report of what Pat Robertson says is, it just should begin with, and in another stupid statement, the man who claimed that gay people caused Hurricane Katrina is now saying it's not reported in that context. And he's treated as if he's this intelligent.
How old is Pat Robertson? About 70, 80?
I don't care how old he is.
He's older than David.
He is older than I am.
Oh, yeah. Very. That's wrong, Patty. No, my point is, has he been smoking crack, some bad crack, or is he just senile? Because he didn't used to be that extreme.
It was September 11th that he said that.
Even before that, he just seems to get worse and worse.
So that was one of the. But that was 12 years ago.
It was 12 years ago. I just want to know what's going on with him. I mean, I thought the older you got, the wiser you got, but no, he's like going back.
He is. You know, I want to end on a really nice note. I want to go back to New Mexico. Some of the counties began issuing marriage licenses because the county clerk just decided we're going to do this. Some of the counties, the county clerk was ordered by a judge to do this. So here's what happened in Albuquerque. A couple from Albuquerque on Friday went up to Santa Fe to get married. One of the partners has cancer and is not expected to live. Mm-hmm. So this couple decided they wanted to be married before she died. They came back to Albuquerque and asked a judge in Albuquerque, because that's where they live, to order the county clerk there to honor the marriage on her death certificate.
Oh.
So the judge not only said, of course, mm-hmm. she said, you know what, in Bernalillo County, which is includes Albuquerque, in our county, I'm directing our county clerk to start issuing marriage licenses as well.
Nice.
I think that's really awesome.
It is.
You know, it's... When we talk about how these things really affect real people, this is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. This was a judge that was ruling based on, you know what? She's ending her life, and all she wants is on a death certificate for it to say they were actually married in our state. And they're having to go to court in order to have a judge honor this relationship that they've had for 30 years. They're having to ask permission to just have it on the death certificate that, yes, they were married.
Right.
And honor this relationship that they've had. It's so sad, in a way, that she actually had to do that. But to the credit of this judge, in honor of this couple, she extended it to the most populous city in the state. You have to... There are real heroes in New Mexico. That's why I'm saying I love this case. I like New York because of the way the governor and some of the loudmouth left-wing legislators were debating it. But what I love about New Mexico is this has been so grassroots. This has just been curmudgeons. And... people just reading the Constitution and saying, you know, I was elected to uphold the Constitution. The Constitution says everybody's equal, and equal means equal.
Mm-hmm.
And they're honoring that, and they're really
And so far, this has not generated a lot of national buzz. And I don't know. I don't know if that's because 13 other states already have same-sex marriage or not, but
because the
we haven't even touched the big story of the week.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're totally out of time, and you're right.
We're out
Patty.
Of time, and I think we need to have an entire show about this.
We do. Let's talk about
bigger
it next
than
week.
That. I want to talk about taxes and the Treasury Department and IRS.
How did I forget that? Because that affects me directly.
It does affect you directly. I
mean, yes.
That's very simply that the IRS ruled this week that all couples who are legally married can file jointly. Patty,
no matter where you are.
Yeah,
no matter where you're living. Patty, I hope you
Your tooth gets better.
Your mouth
Thank
is better
you.
Next week.
Root canal
we'll
week
see you
next
then.
Week.
All right. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly next week.